Hello, you're very welcome to Your Politics, RTE's politics podcast from our Leinster House team. I'm Áine Lawler. With me today, Juliette Gash and Micheál Lehane. And Micheál, since this week, with the various committees, the rent pressure zone bill, the political tempo's picking up at last.
It is, but there's only 12 days to go, of course. So, I mean, a bit of tempo before the finish line isn't that hard sometimes, is it? Especially if you've conserved your energy in the early part of the race. But there was a fair amount done this week, getting that piece of legislation, which has gone through the Dáil and the Seanad now, and expected to be signed by the President tomorrow to extend the rent pressure zones to those remaining 11 counties. It's a short-term measure, of course. Everyone supports that bit of it, opposition and government. It's what's going to happen on March 1st that the big question marks remain around. Then there were the committees, HICWA and CHI, before the Health Committee, a lot to focus on there, and signs that some of the newer politicians too have got to grips with committees now and are able to ask the difficult questions and hold people to account. That was the kind of missing bit in this Dáil, wasn't it? It took so long for the committees to get going. When they did, the first ones lacked a bit of energy. That's all there now. And of course, everything is always framed in the context of an election, and more clarity emerging about the presidential election now and what the now medium-sized parties are going to do.
So that's the billboard, basically, for this podcast you've given us there. And we'll break all of that down. I'll come to housing in a little while. But Juliette, let's start with the Health Committee. And yesterday we had HICWA, the Health Information Quality Authority, and Minister for Older People, Kieran O'Donnell, both in before the Health Committee. And the context for this, obviously, 20 years since Lees Cross, which led to the establishment of HICWA, people horrified at the time, promises of never again, it won't happen again. And then, of course, recently we have Aoife Hegarty's investigation, RTÉ Investigates, showing some shocking and really upsetting scenes of the way older people were being looked after in two nursing homes, one of which had recently passed its checks with HICWA. So an awful lot of questions. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so Angela Fitzgerald, the head of HICWA, I suppose, was leading the questions and she faced a lot of them. One of the facets of yesterday and indeed today's Health Committee was the speed at which they were trying to get through questions. So Padraig Rice, Social Democrats, he's the new chair of the Health Committee, was really sticking to time on this. That worked for some TDs, it didn't work for others. I suppose some TDs were very forensic, had their questions and left time for people in HICWA to answer the questions, and others unfortunately ran down the clock. That could be due to inexperience or other reasons. So essentially, we also learned this week that there were a lot of notifications of abuse at the two homes in question. So there were 198 notifications of abuse allegations at Benevan since January 2022, so over the 2 years. And in 1 year at the residence in Portlaoise, there were 40 notifications. Now, again, HICWA was downplaying these, saying that these can be minor, they can be interactions between patients. However, what everyone saw in the RTÉ Investigates documentary was horrifying, and there were big questions to answer. Things that came up again and again were the fact that there are no minimum standards, there are no sort of baseline qualifications for the carers, and the pay is low. There's high staff turnover, and this is hugely problematic.
Labour's Marie Sherlock was raising that question, wasn't she?
Yeah, and it came up several times, and they are saying that this is something that's being worked on with the Department of Health, that they would like to see minimum qualifications and standards set in place. But again, HICWA was pointing out that they don't actually have the powers when it comes to these large corporate entities, of which Amis is the operator of Benevan and the residence in Portlaoise. So that was problematic. Mm-hmm. They said that they could do with more powers in that area.
And earlier on, shortly after the RTÉ Investigates was broadcast, the minister said HICWA didn't need more powers. Mm. But under questioning at the committee, it became clear that HICWA does see there are areas where its powers could be extended. What are they?
Absolutely. So again, this is the larger corporate entities. They were saying that Amis runs 23 or 24 nursing homes, and that under the current rules, they would have to go to each individual operator with problems or complaints about the individual home rather than being able to go to the parent company. Now, they said in this instance, Amis is cooperating, but as was very well pointed out by Nicole Ryan from Sinn Féin, the senator, she was saying, of course they're cooperating. I mean, you know, they were on national television as having some serious problematic standards. Mm. So the difficulty is in, I suppose, the corporate structure of nursing home operators, yeah, and that they need more powers in that regard.
The other issue, the question of safeguarding legislation, and again, mm, this is something that has been discussed and studied for quite a while. There's draft legislation, there are bills there produced in the Law Reform Commission. The minister saying it is a priority, there will be a policy. But again, questions about the timescale from opposition for all of that.
Again, David Cullinan was quite forensic in his questioning of the Minister for Older People, Kieran O'Donnell, on this. And Kieran O'Donnell did say that he would have liked to see progress quicker on this, but that it is now very much in train. He's expecting by the end of this week, so that should be, you know, in the next 2 or 3 days, the report from the updated report from HICWA, and that he would like to see the safeguarding legislation passed as a matter of priority. But there are lots of priorities at the moment for the government, so that's a tricky one.
And the other, where the minister was agreeing, I suppose, with many of the opposition TDs, saying that there would be more of a... He certainly wants to see an increase in the number of community nursing homes built, yeah, because there's been a big shift, hasn't there, in the sector from, you know, public to private and from mom and pop operations to big chains.
Yeah, it's 75% are now in private ownership, and that's not a short time ago. It was, I believe, 30% was private ownership. So yeah, that is a bigger conversation. And that was the point that, again, Angela Fitzgerald, CEO of HICWA, was bringing up, was that these are really tough jobs, looking after people at the end stage of their life. Young people with a degree don't want to do these jobs, certainly not at the rate that they're being paid. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be a societal conversation of who does this work and how do we reward them for that work.
And she was talking there, wasn't she, based on her own experience, too, as somebody who had coped with a relative.
Exactly, with relatives with dementia, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
All right, so a busy time for the Health Committee. Thursday dawns, and Thursday it's Children's Health Ireland.
Yeah, and if you thought that the problems at HICWA were significant, the problems at CHI are sort of mind-blowing. That was brought up by David Cullinan and Patrick Rice, saying that they didn't actually know where to start. David Cullinan said he's never struggled so much to prepare for a committee in all his political life because there are so many scandals facing CHI. So I suppose the three broad ones that we're looking at here, or that were looked at today, are the unauthorised springs, which was happening at CHI Temple Street.
And the scoliosis.
And the scoliosis, yeah. The broader area there as well. The hip dysplasia, these unwarranted surgeries, an audit has taken place of that. And then there's now a review of everyone who has had that surgery since 2010.
Uncommonly high rates were discovered in
two of the three hospitals. Yeah. 60%, I believe, in Temple Street and 80% in Kappa. Didn't meet the threshold in the audit. And then the third report, which remains unpublished, was into culture and governance at CHI, but also the use of the National Treatment Purchase Fund. And so TDs were saying that they were upset that this report hadn't been published. They had requested, Patrick Rice had requested it be published. And then David Cullinan went through some of the details of that today and asked, had these details been shared with the parents of children alluded to in the report? And they were told no.
In terms of the reaction of the TDs to what they were hearing, do you think they were satisfied with the answers? Senators, clearly.
The difficulty, I suppose, is that the new CEO of CHI has been in position for 5 months, Lucy Nugent. So a lot of this happened, nearly all of it happened before her watch. However, Eilish Hardiman, the former and inaugural CEO of Children's Health Ireland, is there in a new role, Director of Transformation. Sorry, I have her title wrong there, but Strategic Programmes Director is her title. So she's now responsible for getting them into the National Children's Hospital. So that was really pointed out. Again, David Cullinan would say that the person who was in control of CHI when all these failures happened, that is now in charge of getting the three hospitals into one National Children's Hospital. He said that he said it's absolutely ridiculous. He said that the public anger and parents' anger is huge. And there was also really, personal inputs by two TDs. One, Brian Brennan, he was talking about how his child, who has an underlying condition, was offered hip dysplasia surgery. And he decided to sort of actually look, weighing up the pros and cons, no, we're not going to do this. The child has been through enough. And now he says, you know, there for the grace of God go I, we could be in that position that the other parents who were in the public gallery mm-hmm. today could be. And he said he thought that this could be one of the greatest scandals ever faced, the greatest ever malpractice scandals facing the health service. So you could really see people were... The TDs and senators were frustrated. It was said repeatedly that these issues were historical in nature, that things had changed, that staff were feeling better. There is one report still out, the NIAGAM report into the wider orthopaedic surgery, still mm-hmm. due to come out. But there are still answers and questions that haven't gone answered.
It was interesting too, wasn't it, from Martin Daly, who is a GP, said that he just didn't think that the gravity of what had gone on in the clearest terms and clinical terms had been picked up on. Mm. And I suppose for all the criticism of CHI that the government side might make, they are very much linked to them in what is one of the huge political objectives of this government, and that is getting the National Children's Hospital over the line and opened. Mm-hmm. And you would think, despite the criticism, there would be a reluctance to do anything that would jeopardise that. And indeed, the former boss or chief executive of CHI is the one who was actually tasked with that task of getting that final bit of the hospital up and running.
And that was an interesting, that was an interesting back and forth with Lucy Nugent, the current CEO of CHI, when Martin Daly said that. He was just saying about how, you know, you don't understand the gravity. And she was like, oh, no, I do. You know, I've had sleepless nights. Look, that's got cold comfort for some people who have had a lot of sleepless nights on hard floors of hospitals. However, you did get the sense that she gets it.
On the other hand, given these three different controversies, they would be huge on their own. Each of them will take, they're very complex. They're going to take a lot of work and effort to sort out. Taken all together, and we've heard the opposition challenge the government about this point you were raising there, and that claiming that the board of CHI is now no longer fit for purpose in the sense of that move to the new hospital. And again, we don't know exactly when that move is going to be or how this will be impacting on the timeline for that move in any way. But from the government's point of view, critical to get that hospital open. Mm. And the business of dismantling the board and bringing it under the purview of the HSE, again, you'd be talking about delays. It would take time to bed in. So there aren't really any easy choices here, are there?
No, even though the government do say that the government made tough choices. But on that one, given the delays, given that they were the ones facing into the last election, with the concede it wouldn't be open before that election, I don't think they are likely to deconstruct for that reason. It's too major, isn't it?
Where the government is saying they have been able to take tough choices is on the rent pressure zones. Tell us how that's all been going this week.
Well, I suppose the first bit was the easy bit, wasn't it? Even if it was an afterthought, government adamant it wasn't. They were always going to extend those rent pressure zones quickly, and that had been agreed at Cabinet the previous week. But it's what happens on March the 1st next. That's when you see the new rent controls. And of course, it does offer greater protections to tenants, but it also offers a lot more to landlords as well. They can reset rents to market rates after 6 years. And those smaller landlords can essentially break a tenancy after 6 years as well. And then those big investors who are building those new apartments don't have to be capped by the 2% rent cap anymore. That's linked to inflation. Massive, massive changes. Opposition say that means one thing. That means rents are going to rise. The central bank agreeing with that, that they will be paying borne by renters, at least in the short term, but that ultimately supply, it concludes, could increase. But I mean, even if it does increase, it is hard to see investors relenting, isn't it, and coming in at a lower level ultimately when they have those apartments built.
And the extension of the rent pressure zone nationwide, particularly taking in areas that previously had been excluded, many of them holiday resort counties like Kerry. Michael Healy-Ray isn't happy, is he?
No, he's not happy. And that was a contentious one anyway, wasn't it, about that planning permission requirement for certain towns in Kerry and also other places along the West Coast. But there wasn't too much opposition internally within government when it came to it. Indeed, when that issue came to a head last night, there wasn't even a vote in the Dáil. It was agreed unanimously. So it's an easy part of it, isn't it? Overall, despite those misgivings of Michael Healy-Ray, covering things for the next few months isn't the difficult bit of this.
And Minister James Brown saying there will be legislation coming up. As you were saying, a series of bangs, housing bangs that we'll be hearing, you were telling us last week. There's going to be legislation on short-term lets anyway.
Yeah, that is the bit that has been delayed for a very long time, mainly, I think, because of European directives and European laws. But what you are going to see is a tightening in most areas and a planning permission requirement as that bit unfolds. There's so much coming on housing, though, isn't there? There's something around that viability gap as well that Minister Brown keeps talking about. Is that for the budget, though, or is it something beforehand, something that will get builders back building more homes? That probably will be controversial because it will have echoes of the past, won't it, and tax breaks given to builders, some houses that were ultimately knocked down and deemed surplus to requirements. So that's going to be a big one. And then there's going to be a lot of money allocated and put towards things like energy and water in the National Development Plan. But if you look at the public accounts...
And that's down to Jack Chambers, isn't it, to come up with the specifics on that plan. And again, we were told July there'd be the big plan, then it would be a series of announcements. Yep. But his role on the infrastructure in particular is going to be critical, and the Land Development Agency. And that's... we need to see the colour of his money on that one, don't we?
Yeah, it's going to be critical. But I mean, the Thornish has been out today as well flagging this. So I think there'll be a lot of people jumping on board, trying to claim credit for this big amount of money. But of course, it is money that's coming too late, ultimately, because there are multiple housing projects around the country that are ready to go, apparently, but they can't, particularly because of the water issue. So ultimately, there is a degree of failure about this late response. So I think that's one. There are other issues too mounting up on the housing side. The Land Development Agency, what went to Cabinet this week, could be quite significant, but it wasn't legislation. But it is that plan where they could acquire private land now and build a mix of both social affordable and private homes. And they will be linking in directly with James Brown's housing activation unit. And apparently there are some talks with a new czar, we're told.
A new czar, really?
Given that there wasn't ultimately a czar in the end.
Of an internal committee in the Department of Housing.
The czar is being spoken to.
Okay. And we learned as well this week, didn't we, that Paul Reid is going to be the new chair of an Comisiún Pleanála, which will be the revamped planning board that will be coming into place on foot of that big planning act that was passed.
Yeah, so that's happening in stages and reworking on board Pleanála into the new body. And Paul Reid will be on 50,000 a year in this new role. And I mean, ultimately, you can read through all the detail of what the government hope for here, but what they hope for is quicker planning decisions. And that's the role.
But they're up against it, because we learned from the central bank today, Thursday, that they have lowered their predictions on the housing delivery for this year and for the next two, so that the government is going to miss its targets considerably in the next 3 years. They've also revised downwards their economic forecast on account of the global economic uncertainty, war in the Middle East. The tariff war hasn't gone away, you know, all of that, which is going to make planning for a budget very, very difficult. So the government is up against it in terms of that 300,000, which was kind of the holy grail figure that all the political parties agreed on over the course of the general election campaign. If we were to meet demand and begin to tackle the deficit, this government within 5 years would have to deliver 300,000 homes. And the Taoiseach was saying today he still thinks that's doable.
It remains the target. He seems to be in an ever dwindling pool of people who thinks that's doable. You know, what we were talking recently about Gary Gannon saying there was zip chance of that happening. We spoke to Lorcan Sir on the Week in Politics last week. He said he absolutely didn't see how that was going to happen. The central bank says it's not going to happen. I suppose Micheál Martin couched things slightly by saying he didn't want to talk about annual targets. They were burned very seriously by claiming one target on housing that didn't materialise. So you could see why he might say that. But how they're going to ramp it up from in and around, well, certainly 30,000 last year, early 40,000 this year, if they're lucky, how that do they get to the level of 60,000 a year is very hard to see how.
The key appears to be infrastructure. If you can unlock so we have to grow housing at the same time as we unlock the infrastructure logjam.
Yeah, that's a big bit of it, isn't it? And the money is there through the Apple money and other things and it's energy and it's water particularly. They seem to be the big ones. But I think there is still something around builders and getting them interested, that the rent pressure zone changes and the rent reform changes probably don't go far enough there. There has to be something else. What is the big financial incentive going to be in the budget around that? And our government, that will be unpopular in some quarters. They're going to take a lot of criticism in the chamber about it.
And is there tension between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael over the question of tax breaks, which certainly helped fuel the Celtic Tiger boom?
Well, there seemed to be, but as they move on this particular one, especially around the rent pressure zones, there does seem to be a degree of unity. I think the sense coming from the corridor in government buildings is that this isn't going too bad, actually. Despite what you hear in the chamber, they feel the fact that the opposition were on side for that first measure last night shows that they can get this through. But of course, the ultimate measure on that will be, I mean, if people really start feeling pain on the 2nd of March next year, if renters really do, what will the impact be? The raise the roof protest at the gates of Leinster House wasn't massively attended, despite being very well flagged, despite having an opposition motion on housing in the Dáil at the same time. There's another one in Cork this weekend, which might give a better measure on things. I see there's a fear building within the opposition that a degree of apathy could have taken hold among the public in the way that they think is akin to the health crisis, particularly around trolleys and the like. Once a massive, massive story, once something that gripped everyone, but doesn't quite seem to resonate in the same way anymore. Could the same be happening with housing? Could there be a sense of fatalism among the public that no one can really fix it? If that were to happen, that will be particularly damaging for those who are coming up with alternative proposals.
And there's another way of looking at that, isn't there, from the government's point of view, which is that whatever, you know, hits they keep on taking as the numbers of homelessness go up, the, you know, targets keep getting missed and the cost of rent and houses keeps going up. At the same time, there is a better understanding, because we've been talking about all of this for months and months, that there are the log jams that there are in infrastructure, that the complexity of trying to sort out planning, the issue around local authorities and the limits set on housing development and their county development plans. And the list goes on and on and on. So that if you can show, and it may not be this year, it may not be next year, it may take a third year, is there a hope in government that they can just get to, what was that phrase that the former minister used to use the whole time, turning the corner?
Turning the corner, yeah.
Yes. So if you could get that sense of turning the corner, that would bring the public with you.
Maybe, but of course that corner was never turned when they said it was turned either. It was much later, wasn't it?
In fact, we were much further behind the curve than we knew.
And it was a different government was ultimately in power when it did turn. And that wasn't even perceptible for quite as the 2016 election showed as well. So I think that's a difficult, but sure, it's the only hope government have. Yeah. And I think there still is that reality, though, that striking reality, that if the housing figures for last year had been known and made clear to the electorate, what would have happened in that election? Can you say that things would have fallen the same way? I think there's some city on the government backbenches that suggest they may not be there now if those figures were revealed the way they ultimately unfolded.
And the Taoiseach saying housing, disability and child poverty, they're going to be the budget targets, but government already starting to talk down the prospect of tax cuts and a lot of talk about economic uncertainty and the risks of inflation taking off again.
Tax cuts don't seem to be there this time, that there's no prospect of it. What this cost of living package that has been there in the past, that has been pretty much ruled out as well. So when it comes down to poverty and child poverty, does that put that possibility of the two-tier children's allowance on the table now? It's been spoken about for a while. Ultimately, when it comes to the crunch around budget time, it's never seen to be ready, or is it not politically palatable? So that's going to be a big, interesting one to watch.
All right. And one to watch. We're still watching, and we'll be watching and waiting for a while, it seems. But the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, they've been talking about the Áras.
Yeah, they have. And making it quite clear, I think, for the first time that Fianna Fáil does look like it is going to put a candidate in the race now. The Taoiseach saying nothing is off the table and that it will be August when a decision might be made on a candidate. That seems to be a clear hint and signal that Fianna Fáil are going to go there and bite the bullet on this one. Fine Gael quite clearly will have an internal discussion convention sometime probably in July that gets underway, but it will be late August again into early September before the actual candidates in the
nice
field.
It would be nice to have something concrete to talk about in August.
It would.
Dancing at lunacy. That's what it would be. All right.
Sinn Féin still for the moment saying that they're in talks about whether to have a party candidate or some unity candidate off the left. Just one final point on housing that I thought was interesting from the Public Accounts Committee today, where the housing said it needs more money this year to get what it has in the pipeline built, essentially. And of course, there was a 700 million top up already on that housing's budget, and it's still fallen short. So I suppose if there's any hint that things are being paused, and we're hearing about that in some social housing developments in Dublin already, yeah, that would be politically very damaging.
A lot of anger there as well about Peter McVerry Trust not turning up, and they're saying they can't until their audit is completed. So that's obviously one the committee will be coming back to. Just a final point, very briefly, Juliet, but you were talking about TDs using their times, and also the way we were talking before the podcast about the way that Padraig Rice, as a newcomer, chaired the Health Committee very efficiently. He was very tight on the time yesterday. There is a difference, isn't there, Micheál, between delivering a speech in the Dáil and asking a question when you've only 5 minutes?
Yeah, there is, and being pointed, and it did take people a while. Even the greats had it. I recall John McGuinness as a young TD being taken to task with Michael Noonan for being a little too aggressive and a little bit too over the top in his approach, something, of course, that he perfected later on. So everyone has to learn.
Right. Will we let you go back into the sunshine?
Yes, please.
All right, off you go, and we'll talk to you again next week.